right. Well, it's good to be with you all tonight. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is David Moriyama, and I serve as a junior high youth leader, of course. I have the privilege this summer of being a summer intern. It's truly been a blessing to serve alongside the pastors here. I've been learning a lot under them, and been loving and caring for the church has been truly an eye-opening experience. A little bit about me. I grew up in the church, going to Evergreen SGV, so I didn't start coming to Lighthouse until recently. At an early age, I knew I wanted to serve in the church, but I wasn't sure at what extent it was going to be and what I would do. It's a long story, so I won't go into huge detail, but over the years, God has been opening doors in the way of ministry, and so, here I am. I'm at Lighthouse doing this internship, and it has brought me here. Some of my interests are watching TV. I really enjoy watching comedy shows. I also really enjoy watching the Dodgers. Of course, when they're winning. When they're losing, not so much. And I really enjoy playing basketball. A few things you may not know about me is I graduated at Cal State Fullerton with a mechanical engineering degree. I'm deaf in my right ear, and I am an Eagle Scout. Scout's honor. One of the things that I really hated about Boy Scouts was going on hikes. Building fires, tying knots, first aid, training, and camping. Like, I would love all those things, but I really hated going on hikes. Call me crazy, but walking around a mountain for 5 hours plus just to see a beautiful view and take it in for only 5 minutes does not seem worth it. Not to mention all the luggage you would have to carry. You'd have to carry your food, your water, rope, and all these other things. the trail that you would walk on would probably have poor foundation, where dust would get everywhere, you could easily slip, and not to mention that the sun would be beating down on your face a majority of the time. Now, why do I bring this up? Because today's passage we're going to talk about is from Psalm 121. It is in reference to a long hike or journey. So if you haven't already, please turn your Bibles there. This is the word of the Lord, a song of ascent. I lift my eyes to the hill. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this opportunity where we have to dive into your word. Would you use me to speak truth? And would these words be yours and not mine? May you receive all the glory in your son's name. Amen. All right. So this psalm was written in the time where the people of Israel would have to travel to Jerusalem to worship. Okay, it's part of 13 other psalms that are grouped together called the Songs of Ascent. And in biblical times, when they mentioned they would travel up to somewhere, it would be in respects to altitude and not to respects on a map. So if I were to say, I went up to NorCal to spend time with my friends, that would not make any sense to them because SoCal and NorCal have relatively the same altitude. And so for Jerusalem, it was on a hill. The journey would be tough, and You can imagine all the things that they had to bring with them, and they would have to go uphill. And so this may seem like a difficult task. And so the Psalms of Ascent would provide encouragement for the journey ahead. Some commentators mention that this could also be a metaphor for the journey of life and not just the literal journey to Jerusalem. With that in mind, we get a better sense of the imagery that the psalmist is trying to use when it says, "I lift my eyes to the hills." This imagery indicates that the journey to Jerusalem and the journey of life is not an easy one, but a long and strenuous one. Have you guys ever been on a hike or traveled up a hill? For some of you, you just came back from Mount Hermon. And so imagine hiking to Mount Hermon on your own, there's no car, right? Just so that you could see your friends and worship God. That would seem pretty difficult from here. I believe it's like 300 plus miles. And so, yeah, this journey was not easy, right? And so in that same way, the journey to Jerusalem was not an easy one, which prompts the psalmist to ask the question, from where does my help come? And so I ask you this question. Who or what do you turn to when things get hard? You might not currently be in a tough season with it being the summer vacation and all, but when the journey is long and strenuous, where does your help come from? Who do you turn to? When you have four different exams all in the same day, you have a ton of extracurricular activities like Boy Scouts, basketball, piano, soccer, baseball, you name it. When a family member is in the hospital, or when someone who you thought was your friend starts a rumor about you. So in your notes, jot down some of the things that you turn to when things get hard, and then why do you turn to it? So I'll give you some time to do that. So for some of you, you may have yet to turn to Jesus and put your trust in him. And for others of you, you already have. And so my hope with having you answer this question is that it would give you a sense and see that when we put our faith in things other than Jesus, they will fail. These things that we put our faith other than Jesus are false helps. And these false helps may seem like over time, they may be something that will help you, but as we see through this psalm, we will learn that over time, they will all fail. So the psalmist asking this question, from where does my help come from, does not need to know where their help comes from. They already know that their help comes from God, right? They're asking this question to remind themselves of why their help comes from God. We could see this in the second part of verse 2, who made heaven and earth. The psalmist proclaims that their help comes from Yahweh, who has the power to create heavens and earth. Right? And this leads us to our key idea in your notes that says, God's got you, so turn to him for help. The theme that runs through verse 3 through 8 is God's got you, and we'll break this down a little bit more on what that looks like. But keep that in mind, God's got you. In verses 3 to 4, the psalmist provides more evidence as to why God should be the one we turn to for help. It says, he will not let your foot be moved. This proclamation is continuing from verse 2, that Yahweh, the maker of the universe, is holding your feet. With the imagery of the literal journey in mind, right? We could see that when you hike on the trail, there could be loose gravel. It could be a poor foundation. You might be stepping on rocks that aren't set. And so this may cause people to stumble on the journey. We also have to remember that it was an uphill climb and people would be bringing all of their belongings with them. And so this is another factor that could also be a reason why someone would lose their balance. But the psalmist here is saying that God will not let your foot be moved. God is the one who is holding you. Think about that. God, who has the power to create the universe, is doing something as easy and simple as keeping your feet steady. When we read, "He will not let your foot be moved," in the context of the metaphor of journey of life, the question that comes to mind is, what does this mean to have someone's foot not be moved? It's obviously a bad connotation, but what is it? As we mentioned earlier, the imagery of the journey, of the literal journey, right? The ground could be loose due to poor foundation, right? And so you're more prone to fall. And so this also could be the reason that some people may trip you or something on the road may trip you. In the Bible, when it mentions feet stumbling or falling, it's usually a metaphor in a spiritual sense. So when someone stumbles or falls, is usually referring to someone who sins or fails spiritually or does not stay on the path towards God. So the psalmist proclaiming that this journey, there will be things that will make us stumble and fall. But we can have confidence in the almighty, powerful God that not only is he keeping us from falling, but that he is holding us in the midst of these fallings. The psalmist is not saying that temptation will not come, but that God is upholding you through it all. It's a little subtle, but when you read the verse, you notice how it says, "He will not let your foot be moved." This is implying that there are external factors on the journey and road ahead, like what we mentioned, loose gravel, poor foundation, or someone or something is causing you to fall. Right? Like when you have four different exams all on the same day, it can't be helped. That's just how your classes were arranged, and you don't have enough time to study during the week. Right? God is the one who is helping you in the midst of all of that so that you're not tempted to cheat on your friend's test. And you can have confidence that God's got you. That even when the outcome is not what you desired, right? You may get B's. You may get C's, and some of you may get D's. I got a D once, kind of crazy. But on your exams, you don't have to worry, right? Because God's got you. Or when you miss the game-winning shot in basketball, right? God is with you through that, so you're not tempted to blame your teammates, to complain about the refs and blame your coach, right? You don't need to worry because God's got you. Or when you mess up on your piano recital and you don't complain about your brother who is being disruptive and distractive during your practice, God's got you. He's the one who is holding you through all of it so that you're not tempted to sin, right? He's got you. The question that comes to mind is, what about when we fall? Does that mean God is not with us? Of course not. Show of hands, how many of you have fallen before? All of us, right? Think about the last time you fell. For some of you, it could have been last week. Maybe it was at Mount Hermon. I don't know. For me, this wasn't the last time, but it reminded me of a time I fell. And so I was in college, senior year, working on a senior design project. And so, yeah, we had to put a lot of hours into it. And so I was staying late one night. And so as I was walking to the car, to the parking lot, I wasn't really paying attention. And I'm pretty confident the distance was like from me to like maybe the two doors right there. That's where my car was, right? And so I wasn't paying attention, but this parking lot was full with pine trees, okay? And so because of the pine trees, there were pine cones on the floor. And so you can guess where I'm going with this, but I wasn't paying attention. I took one step into the parking lot and stepped on a pine cone, and I immediately started to stumble. What felt like 5 minutes of me trying to catch my balance and trip and fall. I think I took like 20 steps. So like from me to like maybe where Sid is. Maybe it probably felt like that from me to Sid, where I was tripping and falling, and I, yeah, evidently fell. I did not catch my, was able to keep myself from falling. And so, yeah, I was very embarrassed. I was hoping no one saw that, but I looked over to the right and there was like someone in the car who witnessed all of it. So why do I bring this up? I love it when the Bible uses imagery because it allows us to get a picture and reminds us of an experience that we had, right? And so like with the story, right, it reminds us that we all fall, whether it's physically or in a spiritual sense. No matter how old you are or how young you are, we will all fall. The question, though, is that when we fall, who do we turn to? What are we looking to for help? We need to turn to Christ because he is our great helper. He is the one who is always providing a way out. There is always hope for change when we turn to Christ. So our mentality towards sin should never be, that's just who I am, and there's no hope. We can see that the psalmist adds to this idea when he says, he who keeps you will not slumber. Right? God does not rest when he is holding you and constantly working through your spiritual failings. He is so strong and powerful that he doesn't need to rest, nor will he rest when he is upholding you. God's got you. The psalmist further expands on this idea that God's almighty power is holding you when he says, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Think about that for a second. The God who is holding the whole nation of Israel is holding you. The psalmist continues this idea when it says that the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. In the Bible, when the right hand is mentioned, it is usually referring to power. So when the psalmist says that the Lord is your shade on your right hand, he is implying that even in your power, the Lord is protecting us, right? It's not our own strength, but it is God's strength that protects us. The psalmist continues this idea when he says that the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Remember the reference to the journey. When the sun is scorching down on you, it will not hurt you, right? Because Yahweh is the one protecting you. The imagery here shows that the Lord will never stop protecting you. He's got you by day and by night. But just like the imagery that God is making sure that your foot is not being moved, right? The imagery here shows that God is your shade. And so sometimes the sun can break through the shade covering, but does that mean that the covering is there? No, right? In the same way, nothing happens to you that God does not see or allow without his protection upon us. We have to remind ourselves that God is sovereign through all things. He is the one in control, and he is the one who is walking with us in those moments. He's got us, right? This doesn't mean that God can't prevent harm from happening to us, but that there is a greater purpose in why these things are happening. And so we should look to Christ for help because he's protecting us at all times. As we continue to read through the Psalms, we can see the train of thought that this psalmist is having as he is reminding himself as to why we should turn to God for help. Right? You notice that it starts off with his foot not being moved. God will keep our foot from being moved. Then he turns to God will keep us from harm. And then as the psalm approaches its end, the psalmist proclaims he will keep us from all evil. Verse 7, I can picture verse 7 almost like this coming from the Psalms. Wait, God doesn't just keep me from harm, but he's also keeping me from all evil. So that's his thought process, is that like, it's not just he's keeping us from harm, but he's keeping us from all evil. And at first glance, this may seem pretty straightforward, right? God is keeping you from evil. But is that really what the psalmist is saying? Will God really prevent all evil from happening to us? If we take inventory of our lives, or if we tune into the news on what is happening around the world, I think we can all agree that evil is evident in the world and that it affects us, right? The evil that comes from Satan can be very obvious, like when someone who you thought was a close friend spreads a rumor about you, or when someone pushes you off the monkey bars and you break your arm. Or it can be very subtle, where when you feel like the things of this world are better than Christ, and so you turn to the things of this world instead of him. These are both different types of evil, but the psalmist is saying that God's got you through all of it. We see this more in verse 8, when the psalmist says, "The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." This psalmist is similar to verse 6 in that just like he's keeping us from harm, evil will still happen to us, just like harm can still happen to us. The psalmist is not saying that God will never let evil happen to us, but that he is with us through the evil that is happening to us. We have to remember what a grace it is that in the hardest moments, God is still with us. For those of you who look to Christ, there is nothing that happens to us that doesn't pass through the filter of Christ's love. In other words, there isn't a moment where we are experiencing God's love. We have to take a step back and realize that when we fail our exams, when a family member is in the hospital, and when someone spreads a rumor about you, that we become more reliant on God. And that's a good thing, because the maker of heaven and earth has got you. Take, for example, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? We don't have a lot of time to get into it, but long story short, King Nebuchadnezzar creates a statue, and he tells everybody to bow down to the statue. Right? And so what do Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? They say, no, we only bow down to the true and living God. Right? And so the punishment for not bowing down is what? Getting thrown into the fiery furnace. Right? So we see that God did not prevent evil from happening to them. Right? Because they still had to enter into the furnace. But God was with them in the furnace, preventing the flames from consuming them. This produced a greater need for Christ and a much deeper reliance on him. Not to mention, we have this moment recorded for all of us to read and to learn about. We have to remember that God is our protector in the midst of evil. Through his sovereignty, we know that God is in control, and that he is leading us through it. This verse is a reminder that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That we should turn to Christ, our helper, because he is the one who protects us, and he is the one who is leading us through the evil that is in our lives. Verse 8 further emphasizes God's power. Just like verse 6 in the wording that is used, the psalmist says, "In your going and your coming out." So you're going out and you're coming in. This phrase is used to encapsulate everyday life. It was used back then to do that. And so you could say it similarly to God's got you in all evil and in every day of your life. It could also be referred to as location, expanding on the idea that God's got you at all times and wherever you go. This psalm can be a great tool to help us see that Christ is the better help. So let's take the answer that we jotted down at the start of this message And let's use that to replace the subject of the psalm, which is God. Right? For me, it would be TV. When work is hard and people are difficult to deal with, I use TV as a security and escape from my problems and feelings. In some ways, you can say that I use TV as my help, as my source of help. But can I honestly say that watching TV will help me with my walk with God? Probably not. There's a lot of worldly things in TV, and in my case, I would replace TV with our Savior. Right? And anything we replace with our Savior, Jesus Christ, will not help us, but will harm us. But instead, trust in Jesus. Go to him for help. To be a Christian is to be in need of help. Right? Because the Bible says that we were dead in our sins. We chose to do things our own way and apart from what God had intended. There was no hope for us, and our relationship with God was broken, and there was nothing we could do to fix it. Right? No great act or good deed that we could ever do would save us from this. Through our rebellion against God, we deserved his wrath. But because of Jesus' sacrifice, he chose to die on the cross in our place. Right? Because he chose the cross, we were forgiven, and our relationship with him was restored. By placing our trust in him and turning from our sin, we are saved. If Jesus helped us in the moment that we needed him the most, then how much more should we turn to him for help? When you have 4 different exams all on the same day, when you have a ton of extracurricular activities, like Boy Scouts, basketball, piano, soccer, baseball, you name it, and the outcome does not go the way you want, you didn't do good on your recital, you didn't win your games, we can find our help in Jesus, the one who is powerful to save us from our sins, and the one who is with us at all times. So when troubles arise and trials come, would you turn to Jesus, our great help, because he's got us? Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you for your word and how you speak through it, God. Lord, we thank you for the reminder that you are always with us. God, we thank you that even though we fail and fall, and even though harm comes and evil happens to us, Lord, we know you are with us, you love and care for us. And so, Lord, we pray that as we leave tonight, we would be reminded that you are our help, and we should turn to you for help always, God. So we pray this in your son's name.